Someone said to me yesterday that this what we've learned so far reminds them a lot of what we learned last year. We learned from the Lubavitch Rebbe's in Yonash al Torah Sachasidus. It's true, there is a lot of overlap. We'll see today, he's going to quote even more from the Sfas Emes to show you that Sfas Emes had the same Mahalech. But also, we have to chaz over these ideas. You're not going to come across, you know, so many new ideas when we learn through this parak together from this Sefer Sha'ar Mel Pnimius. But there's enough here that it's kedai to go through. Okay, so I hope this is not like too obvious for everyone. We're on page Kuf Lamed Tes Os Gimel. Bein Chasidus LaKabbalah. Who can tell me, in a simple definition, the difference between Chasidus and Kabbalah? What would you say is the difference between Chasidus and Kabbalah? So he already told us, he gave us the comparison of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being fully here and just covering himself, his lapshus, versus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, radiating or emanating from on high, like the ray of light that emerges from the sun. Yeah, see where we are? We're in this Hechkov Lamed Tes. Only two packets. So what's the difference between Chasidus and Kabbalah? So if someone ever to ask me that question in one sentence, I always give the same answer. It's what Rabbi Arya Kaplan said very well in one sentence, which is?
Kabbalah is bringing you up to Hashem.
Right, Kabbalah takes man into the heavens. Chasidus brings the heavens into man. That's what we're going to talk about today. That basic difference of learning deep things, not to try to get out of this world and get beyond this world, but to enrich our existence in this world. Torah HaChasidus, we're up to Oz Gimel, Bein Chasidus LaKabbalah. Torah HaChasidus Yesoda B'Torah HaKabbalah, Shal Pishitas HaRizal. Chasidus is built on the whole world of Kabbalah that preceded Chasidus, as expounded and clarified by the Shita and the approach of the Arizal. Ula, Kitotza Me'atfisa HaChasidus. But the offshoot of the Hasidic tfisa, the Hasidic outlook, Hashona Shel Tali Chabria, that expresses and teaches us the process and the progression and the talich, the development of the bria, Huatku b'torasa kol musagei ha'yesod ha'kabbalim. What's Huatku? It makes a copy. Meaning you could put Hasidus right on top of Kabbalah and you could say, wait a minute, Kabbalah talks about Sfiros, and Chasidus talks about Sfiros. Kabbalah talks about Tzimtzum, and Chasidus talks about Tzimtzum. Kabbalah talks about Yichudim, and Chasidus talks about Yichudim. So you can look at them, and you can say, this is just a copy of this, and what's really the difference between them? A lot of the language of Kabbalah is used in any Sefer of Chasidus, so what's going on here? So he says that, yes, Chasidus copied, it borrowed, it took from the terminology, right? All the concepts, the fundamental concepts of Kabbalah, Kamo Shvira, Tzimtzum, Tikkun, Yichud, Me'olamos Elyonim El Olamenu. But it took all of those concepts, right? And it photocopied them from the Olamos Elyonim El Olamenu into our world. It took these very abstract, and that's why when people, and I find this so frustrating, when you try to introduce a person to Chasidus, right, they might say, well, that's like very, because they assume that because they're hearing certain words, they think, oh, those are words that I've heard associated with Kabbalah, and we're not shayach to learn Kabbalah. So in that way, by extension, they reject Chasidus and assume that Chasidus is not for me. Chasidus is a very, very important way to enhance one's avodas Hashem. You don't want to learn Kabbalah. There are certain prerequisites that a person needs for learning Kabbalah. Okay, understood. But don't be fooled by the fact that Chasidus is built, right, on concepts of Kabbalah. The way the Bnei Yisrael writes in one place, that the reason we're allowed to learn Kabbalah through Chasidus is that the tzaddikim were able to take these lofty ideas and somehow, I don't want to use the words water them down, but water them down in a way that we can apply them to our life, that it won't destroy us. It filters it down to us in such a way that we can absorb it into our spiritual consciousness and use it in a way to serve Hashem. Okay? So therefore, this copying over of the concepts from on high, from the Olamos Elyonim El Olamenu, Uliyeser Diuk El Tuda'at Ha'adam, that it should enter into our awareness. Right? It shouldn't remain aloof and somewhere out there in the heavens. but to take these concepts to say, how does that very, very deep idea that really is so far beyond my physical world, but how does it actually, how is it nogei elamaisa in my physical world? Because we know that man is an olam katan, a miniature universe, and therefore everything that it expresses itself in the higher spheres expresses itself within a person. Uva milam acherot, to say it differently. Hachasidus tirgumas Torah Kabbalah el tochai hayom yom. Chasidus came to translate Kabbalah from some abstract language into something that I can live with day in and day out. Ve'aviras tchum hamufshat el tchum hamaas. This guy writes a very flowery language. To take something which is intangible and abstract and to bring it into what? Into the tchum hama'as, into the domain of action. Tchum hama'as is like it's a flowery way of saying. Into the domain of real life. To take the abstract, to take the intangible, and to make it real. That's what Chassidus did. And it took the loftiest things and made them the most real. It took the highest things and brought them into the lowest depths. And that's why Chassidus is so awesome. Because it's able to be metakin from the highest of heights to the lowest of the low. It spans all of reality. Kach ba'ocha kabbalah ikra avodas ha'adam. Last paragraph on Kuf Lametes. Ba'ocha ba'kabbalah ikra avodas ha'adam. Hi ashpa ba'olam ha'sel yonim. Hareisha ba'chasidas ikra avoda. Hi ismodidus ima hester va'achiza se'nayim b'mata ha'gashmi. While Kabbalah is all about trying to, again, interact with the Olam HaSal Yorim, to interact with that which is beyond this world. Chassidus, the primary avoda of Chassidus is his modidus ima hester, is to grapple with, is to compete with feelings of hester, and again, in the real world, va'achizas einayim, and the trick that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is playing on us, this perception of concealment, b'ma'ata agashmi, that the world is covered over. That covers over all of godliness that dwells within it. Take a look at the footnote. He quotes a nice piece from the Pia Zatzner in footnote 44, Mem Dalet. He says, look in the Mavo Asha'arim from the Pia Zatzner Rebbe, Sof Perek Dalet. Ki ad his scalus ha chasidus Torah sakabbalah his yachsel olam asal yonim. Before chasidus came along, Kabbalah was the most hidden, reserved, secretive, heavenly domain. Chassidus came along and says, we're going to take the loftiest, most exclusive thing, and we're going to make it the most accessible to the masses, both in terms of the idea of it and in terms of the accessibility to who is entitled to it. The Ikra Avoda Haisa Machshava Lavada. Before Chassidus came along, the primary avoda of Kabbalah took place in the realm of Machshava. Again, it was about getting out of this world. When the Gemara talks about in Maseches Chagiga, the four who entered the Pardes, right? Rashi says that Rabbi Akiva, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, and Elisha Ben Avuya went up. They went up and out. They didn't bring the Pardes into this world. They entered the Pardes. They went, right? Rashi says, using Shemos HaKadoshim, they were able to leave their bodies, Ispashas HaGashmi, to get away from physicality, to have a loftier experience. They went above. That's what Kabbalah does. The Kavanos V'Yichudim LaHamshech Or Mimaro. However, that's all in the realm of Machshava. Ulam Chassidus. What was the Chiddush of Chassidus? Says the Pia Zatzner Rebbe, Lo LaHamshech B'Marom Bilvad, Ragam B'Olam Hazeh. Right? Not just that my life should be a Hamshacha of the heavens, but I should be able to, what? I should be able to do all those things, again, in action, in Maisa. V'lo michutzalanu, not outside of myself, ragam banu, but within myself, from within myself. Kikol oros ilaot vasviros, banu nimtzos. Because all those things that Kabbalah is describing out there, right, in the outer olamos, right, in the olamos that are beyond our vision, so guess what? We have all of those olamos inside of ourselves as well. We have that endless depth of olamos inside of ourselves. V'cheina yichudim osanu anu miyachdim. The yichud is not taking place beyond oneself, it's taking place from within oneself. And that again was the novelty, that was the chiddush of Chassidus. That it shouldn't be abstract or intangible, but it should be very real. And we should be able to grapple with it, right? His modidus ma'aster, he says, v'chizas einayim. To grapple with all that confusion and all of that hester pun. Yeah, Rabbi Yon, you wanted to say something?
What changed that now? That's why that's valid now? Or is it like what changed that we can how
right. I mean, in terms of the accessibility, in terms of the access to it, right? Part of, like we saw, part of preparing that other piece from the PSS, part of preparing this world for Mala Arts Deas Hashem, for Mashiach, right? There has to be an expansion of these ideas to get everyone on board. If you remember last year in Yotes Kislev, one of the things we discussed, based on a piece from the Rebbe Rashab, was that we could look at the fact that we have Pnimiyas HaTorah as a Maila or a Chisaron. The Maila is, the way that the Magen Avraham brings on the Shulchan Aruch, that a person should Toameh Chaim Zachu, right? You should taste the Shabbos food before Shabbos. So, if Mashiach is that world, Yom Shekulo Shabbos, and the period in which we're living is Erev Shabbos, because of our position in world history, we get to taste the Shabbos food in advance, which means we get to taste Mashiach's Torah. We taste Chassidus is Mashiach's Torah. So we're getting a taste of it in advance. And that's a good thing. That means we're very close to Mashiach, and it's a wonderful thing, and we have benefits because of that are great. The negative way to look at it is that we live in a time of such hester panim, of such utter confusion, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw that if I don't give the Jewish people a deeper Torah to sustain them, then everyone's going to go off the derech. But if I give them, if I show them how deep my Torah is, right, maybe that will be the medicine to keep these very sick Jews in the game until the end. What was your question?
What changed?
Right. What changed? Right, so that's part of the change. So if we're preparing ourselves for Mashiach, right, there has to be the same way the Rambam writes. It's one of the edited passages in the Rambam, but the Rambam writes at the end of Hilchos Malachim Umilchum Oseim, right? The Rambam in his sections on kings and their wars, when he talks about Mashiach at the end, the Rambam says, "What was the innovation, or in what way are we thankful?" He says it in Befurash. You look in the Frankel. Look in the correct yourself. So the Rambam says, in what way are we thankful to Yashka and to Muhammad? In what way are we thankful to Christianity and to Islam? You know what they helped us to do? They helped us to get the word out. What word out? The Mashiach's coming. That the Redeemer's coming. That someone's going to come and save us. That there's a world beyond this world. Right? So therefore, when Mashiach comes, the Rambam says, yeah, it could be there's places in the world, right, very devout Christians, they don't know the first thing about Jews. But when Mashiach actually comes, they'll say, oh, Messiah, we know about Messiah. We thought we were expecting a different Messiah. We thought a different Messiah was coming. But we know about this concept, right? So Chassidus is helping to get the concept, to get the ideas out there. In a way that when Mashiach comes, our eyes will be adjusted to the light, so to speak, right? The mashal that's far and bright. You walk into a dark room, you flip on the light, very suddenly, it's very overwhelming. You're not able to see. It could blind the person if it's too bright. So therefore, our eyes are adjusting to the light by getting a taste of that light in the Erev Shabbos period. Okay, top of page, Kuf Mem. Turn the page. Yisod HaDvar, B'ma'apecha Shecholu Rashi Chassidus B'Divrei Ariza, Al Talich HaBriya. The essence of this transformation that was brought about by the leaders, by the tzaddikim, by the founders of Chassidus, based on the Arizal, again, in explaining the progression and the development of the Bria. Uketotzami menu ala tzimtzum, by Estalkus. And again, the development and the way that, by explaining the fundamental principle and branching outward into all of the concepts, she'enu rikun hamakom apanoi. Chassidus came along and said it wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu emptied out, right? Hashem didn't make a place that was rake in order to allow this world to exist. Rather, like we explained the first day, 2 days ago, Allah starisha elokus v'he'alma me'ha'asaga enoshis. Rather, it's the concealment of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the islapshus of Hashem, in a way that it's hard for us naturally to perceive Him, shosira mitzios gevulis hanikris teva, that Hashem set up something, a structure, a perception of a limited world. And we call those gvulim, those boundaries, those limitations, teva. And it's very easy, like many Svarim say, that the word teva, which means nature, is very much connected to litaboa, to drown. Because you can very easily drown in the natural world. You can get caught up in the mushal, like I said yesterday, and lose sight of the nimshal. You forget that this is a game of hide and seek that we're playing with Kuchibrichu. Bior, that is to say, Tzimtzum ze einenu shalila o heder she'alukus mi makom sha'isabo chalila. We would never want to say, Chassidus is saying, again, a clarification of the opinion of the Arizal, we can never say that there's a void. Right, that there's a place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not found. Shekein, look at this line. Shekein kol hagbala shel ha'ein sof hi bilti efsharit, because it's not possible. It's not possible to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Hashem is echad. Hashem is einod mavado. So we can't ever come to the conclusion that Hashem actually created boundaries. That would be against His very essence. What we can say is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a perception of boundaries. And therefore the whole game that we're trying to play here is to make sure that we are able to perceive beyond our most superficial perception. To not see things superficially. Where there's an appearance of borders or boundaries. Right? Because it's not possible to take the Ein Sof, the infinite one, and to put them into boundaries. It's not possible on a heresy to say such a thing. Elah Elokus lo histalka. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never left at all. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rather concealed His endless nature to the point that He was hidden enough that this world as we perceive it could exist. To the point that what? That there's a concealment that we could call a new way of Hashem expressing Himself called Teva. But it's really, Hashem is as here as much as He always was. Okay? Now, once we know this, what can we do with this idea? So he says, in the next paragraph, Mitzius gvulis zo, hi hatashtit umekor hachiyos shebabriya michad gisa. This Mitzius of gvulim, this reality of boundaries, is the what? Hatashtit, is the foundation, is the infrastructure. And it's the mekor hachiyos shebabriya michad gisa, on the one hand. The only way we can exist is if Hashem makes it possible for us to get lost in the mashal. Otherwise, there's no bechira, there's no scharva onesh, there's no world. If Hashem is too easily recognized, so then there is no world. So the infrastructure by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up these boundaries, right, that is the framework through which, on the one hand, this world is able to exist. But on the other hand, Lakola Hester, Harav HaGalus, Hateva V'chukav Mahave Masveh, Al Ura Achias Van Hagas HaMalchus. On the other hand, the fact that Hashem is hiding creates all of the bad and all of the gullus and all of the Olam Hazeh that serves as a Masveh, as a veil to cover over that light. So when HaKadosh Baruch was creating the world, right? And like the Gemara in Chagiga says, that Hashem, one of the names of Hashem is Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud, Sha'amar La'olam Odai, that Hashem said to the world, enough. That was the moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the exact amount, the perfect balance. The perfect balance of what? Dai, just enough revelation of Elokus that you can find me if you search for me, and just enough covering that you can totally lose sight of me if you choose to lose sight of me. That's it, right? And that's why we sometimes have days where we don't believe in God at all, and sometimes Hashem is the most obvious thing in the world. Because Hashem set it up in such a fine and balanced way that on the one hand, again, it allows us to exist, and on the other hand, it's hidden enough that it gets very confusing to the point that we start to wonder if He exists. Okay? Kach shebo'olameinu kayamim shnei mishorim. So therefore, what we have, the reality of the world is that what? There are these two planes of existence. Number one, Hametzius HaPnimis, and Hametzius HaChitzonis. Right? We have the inner world, and we have the outer world. And they're placed directly on top of one another. To the point that it's our job to try to look deeply. Number one, Hametzius HaPnimis. HaMishur HaRuchani HaNe'alam Shel Kedusha Shelo Avra Es HaTzimtzum. There's the inner world, there's the reality of Hashem that always was, that did not undergo any Tzimtzum, any contraction, v'hibachina soviv kol almin, hakadusha shemi'avar lechushim. There's a holiness that's beyond our senses, right? There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu soviv kol almin, the Kadosh Baruch Hu who remains beyond, right? It's interesting. I once heard Rabbi Shmuel Bronz say, when we talk about deep ideas, I just fell into the trap also. When we talk about ideas, Right? We sometimes describe things as being very high, and sometimes we describe things as being very deep. Right? A lofty idea, a very high idea, or a very deep idea. Right? Now the truth is, those are like opposite directions. When I say something is very high, and I say something is very deep, right? I think of deep as buried deep within. I think of high, totally suspended above. But they're both correct. And the reason we use those two terms is because there's a soviv called Amen, there's Hashem, right, in a lofty way beyond, and there's Hashem in a lofty way within. So therefore, there's this Metzias HaPnimis, which he's actually describing as what a soviv called Amen, Hashem as he exists beyond. But again, that beyond could be deep within. That's what the beyond is. This is the surface, and the beyond is digging deeply inside yourself. Okay? So again, there's the inner world, there's the inner reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that always was. And again, our natural senses don't perceive that. And then there's the Metzias HaChitzonis. Then there's the outer Metzias, which is what? HaMishur HaGashmi, the physical plane of existence. Oso Anamar Gishim, how do you pronounce that word? Avram, how do you pronounce that word? Chavayim. Then there's the physical plane, right, which we perceive. That we're living amongst, we're living within. Boa kedusha misbateis bebechinas agvulit. Within that framework, that's the world as we feel it. Hanikrim amalik kol amen. Hakedusha shebesoch achushim. Right? That's the world that we can perceive, and that's the godliness that we can perceive more naturally, without much effort. And therefore what? Shtei bechinos elu echad heim. These two domains are really one. Klomar. Ein elu kochos nifradim vishonim ve'einam poelim benifrad. They're not operating independently. Elisha bechina rishoni bechinas shoresh ve'etzem achiyos v'ashniya bechinas giloy achiyos bepoel. There's the potential of godliness that lies within, which we can't perceive naturally. And then there's the uncovering, there's bringing it to life in a way that I interact with it and I experience it. And again, that is our job. Our job is not to allow God to be a theoretical construct or an abstract idea, but to be something that fills our very mitzius, that bepoel, we're experiencing Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'nimtza, bottom paragraph. On page Kuf Mem, Nimtza. Ki l'toras ha-chasidus, ha-metzias ha-artis kayemes besoch ha-maleos ha-lokis kechilech me'atzmusa. Therefore, according to the approach of chasidus, ha-metzias ha-artis, physical reality, exists within the fullness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's elokus kechilech me'atzmusa, as part of it. Not independent from it, but part of it. Klomar, Lo shekiyem ba yisod eloki amum. Not that there exists within physical reality some type of godliness that's amum. Amum means like dim or hazy or blurry, right? That God who I can't really have any type of relationship with or really any understanding of. Kevicha olam mitoras haKabbalah. That's what Kabbalah tells us. I'm comfortable with the language of Chassidus, but when I hear an idea that in my mind I think of more as being a Kabbalah word as opposed to a Chassidus word, because I don't yet know enough Torah to make the translation. Right? When someone starts to talk to me about some Kabbalistic idea, my brain immediately gets into like, whoa, I become that misnagid who doesn't even want to hear Chassidus. Whoa, these ideas are not for me. That's not for me. Right? It's very hazy, it's very blurry, it's very abstract, it's very intangible. Chassidus is not trying to do that. Chassidus is trying to allow you to experience the fullness of the Elokus from within physical reality. Right? Not something out there or strange or beyond. Okay? Go back to the footnote for a second, because this was really the continuation of the footnote from the previous page, which we didn't finish. So let's read the footnote on page 140, Kuf Mem. Ki gam ba'adam yesh bo min olamos ha'elyonim v'alkein b'chassidus v'nigo l'kabbalah ikr shalah lo rak b'kavanos v'yehudim ela ikr hu ba'avoda gam b'spilos ha'chushes v'gam ha'gufnes. Therefore, Chassidus says, I want you not to meditate on these ideas. I want you to feel these ideas within your body. Not just to experience the greatness of the world beyond, that there are olamos beyond this world. Rabbi says to recognize the greatness from within this world. And then he quotes a very famous line that the Rebbe of Zitichov said to the Ktos, our good friend, the Ktos HaChayshim. The Ksos HaChoshen once asked about Chassidus and Kabbalah. This is a very famous Maisa. Gam Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Mizidichov. Look what he writes here. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Zidichover. Ona ala Sheila Shobal Ktois HaChoshen. He answered up a kasha of the Ktois. That's good. That's pretty good. He answered up a Ktos. Says the Zidichover. He said back to the Ksos, Ma Chidish HaBal Shem Tov. The Zidichover said, I don't understand. What was the Baal Shem Tov's novelty? We already have Kabbalah. What did the Baal Shem Tov add? So Rav Tzvi Hirsch Zidichover said, hold on a second, I'll explain to you. Right? Isn't it the same as the Arizal? The language you Chassidim are using is the same as the language of Kabbalah. So what are you saying new? Why is everyone talking about the Baal Shem Tov making a whole new thing? Right? What's new about this? So he said to him the following, Hadvarim shel ha'ari heim b'shamayim ma'al. The ideas of the Arizal are those ideas as they exist above. Aval ha'Baal Shem Tov gila es elokus ba'olam shamata. The novelty of the Baal Shem Tov was he brought it down and he gave it to all of mankind. Which is why people initially were so against the Baal Shem Tov, because they said to him, you're teaching Kabbalah to the biggest Amaratsu. That is the greatest perversion of Kabbalah. They didn't understand that he wasn't teaching Kabbalah, he was teaching Chassidus, right? Which is Kabbalah in a, right? Not Kabbalah for dummies like that book you can pick up in Barnes and Nobles or whatever, but like, right? Kabbalah as appropriately, Kabbalah for dummies, but he took these ideas of Kabbalah and he made them kosher. The Baal Shem Tov kashered them for Klal Yisrael. Yeah? Ubeprat ba'adam she'ein bo shum davar she'ein koach eloki ganuz bo. That he dafka, the Baal Shem Tov dafka took these ideas, the best medicine for the sickest people. And that was the chiddush and the galus of the Baal Shem Tov. Look what he writes the last two lines. V'chol adam nivra lamali tafkir baal erech ba'olam. Every person has his mission in this world. V'chol adam yochol lakasher atzmo lelukim b'chol pulosav. And a person has to know, whoever you are, however you are, whenever you were born, wherever you live, that every single thing you do can be a godly action. V'afilu b'sichos b'telos. What was the Baal Shem Tov teaching these people? When he's sitting around with these Amaratim and their horses telling stories. The Baal Shem Tov was teaching them that telling a story, the way that Rabbi Nachman's stories are laced, every word of it, with the deepest ideas and kavanos, the Baal Shem Tov was teaching them a story, a conversation, can also be a form of Avodas Hashem. To understand how radical that was, again, in terms of the changing of the mindset of many people. And he concludes, he says here, and that's why so many people were drawn to the Baal Shem Tov. Because Baal Shem Tov was not teaching Kabbalah. If he was teaching Kabbalah, he'd have a very small following. The reason that people are continuously drawn to the Baal Shem Tov, and we see it continuing to unfold in our times, more and more and more and more, is because the Baal Shem Tov was Yisrael. He was speaking to Klal Yisrael. He was offering something that Klal Yisrael, Bechlal, desperately needed. Okay? Turn to page Kuf Mem Aleph, top of page Kuf Mem Aleph. Yeah, question.
Not where was the disconnect, but how do we know that the first generation that you now have are much more lenient on certain, I want to say areas of halacha, but like...
No, I can't.
I know the Hasidic like masters were not really on level, so they're always like, how does that hold there?
Like what? What's an example?
Like, isn't like a big thing that Hasidic don't do Zman Tefillah? Like, they don't really talk about like, Zman Tefillah.
It's not even
like
this year.
I'm not like...
Depends who.
I'm just wondering like why then...
Depends who, depends what. Yeah, for many of them, it's a total perversion of... The Imre Emes set up that all the Gerish Shtiblach throughout, you know, Poland and its environs would all daven bizman because he thought it was a joke at this point. To wake up at 10 o'clock and to roll into that wasn't what the tzaddikim were doing. So the Ger Rebbe said, everyone has to daven bizman. So it's not like a chassid because there is such an idea of davening, you know, beyond the zvanim. That doesn't mean that every chassid is using it in the right way. So. You know,
no, but I'm not saying like, I'm just wondering where was like, what I guess in your mind was the trade off that like, in order for Amaratim to be more connected to Hashem, it was better for us like to be lenient.
That was never a leniency.
But how did that
davening past the Zaman because a person is making a chanas for hours to stand before the king is not a leniency. It's a chumrah. It's a chumra.
What about this one?
It wasn't made to give people who are lazy a chance to get to a later minyan.
Fine.
Right? That was never the intent. That was not how the Baal Shem Tov was being makara people by telling them you can cut corners and give up halacha. That was never the intention of it.
But it's also for non-chassidim to wash after Shkia on Shabbos, but chassidim do it all day.
Depends. It depends also. Again, depends. There used to be. But that's also a halachic question. It's a question of what we call, what we call shkia, right? Right. Meaning, if you follow Rabbeinu Tam, see, we're used to thinking. Most of us in our brains are trained to think the Shabbos starts when at what we call shkia, sunset. And some people, they keep Shabbos longer. They don't end Shabbos until Zman Rabbeinu Tam. But really, if I follow Zman Rabbeinu Tam, then I could also start Shabbos Zman Rabbeinu Tam. Which is why, you go back to America, let's say in the 1950s, there were Jews, from Jews, Hasidim, who were driving their cars after Shkia. Now that got a little complicated and a little confusing. So eventually that became the... So we're machri in both directions.
Even if you're going to say that, fine, they held skis later.
Yeah.
The way I always understood it wasn't that they just helped later ski, it was that you could wash after ski.
We have to. Let's not do this now. Let's not do this now. Because we're mixing hanhagos of tzaddikim with differences of opinion in halacha, and we're not. So we have to take it apart one piece at a time.
You got
to
take it apart.
Okay, but it was not. It's not. There was never. Again, it's a difference of. Chassidus never came to uproot even one letter of halacha.
No, I'm not saying it did. I'm not trying to
Okay, that doesn't mean that everything Chassidim do is in accordance with what you're going to find on the, on the simplistic read of the Shulchan Aruch.
Right.
But it was never meant to create leniencies or uproot halacha.
Of course, yeah.
Okay, do some people abuse, certain ideas that were developed and certain approaches in Avodas Hashem of Tzaddikim to be lenient in Halacha in a way that's totally not in line with what the Tzaddikim had in mind? Sure. And again, that's why the Ger Rebbe said, enough. Every shtiebel, every Ger shtiebel, and there were thousands and thousands of Ger Hasidim, has to work according to the Zmanim. Because it's a perversion of a very lofty idea. Okay, let's go weiter a little bit. Yesod, where are we? Kuf Mem Aleph?
Yeah.
Top of Kuf Mem Aleph. Okay? Yesod Zeh HaGoreis. This idea that expresses itself, that maintains. Sha'amitzios ha'artis hi giloi dainami shel ha'atzmos ha'lokus shebekirba. That the true reality of Artzius is the dynamic, the living chelek aloka, right? The alokus within it. Who yisod l'chol avodas Hashem ha'chasidus. Hamavakeshes lintos gesher bein metzias hagashmis lebein ha'avaya alokis, that serves to create. Chassidus taught us a means of reconciling, of creating a bridge, right? An active bridge connecting gashmius and ruchnius. Okay, let's go weiter. Me'acher v'leshita zu alokis shore b'chol makom v'briya. So now that we've established that there are not places where Hashem is more found or less found, they're not places where Hashem retracted Himself and He's not accessible. Uveprat b'nafsho shel adam, all the more so within man, Hashem fills every bit of you, like we've said the last couple of days. The neshama fills the entire guf. Elishi behester, but it's hidden. Harish nekudas hamifgash imatov eloki einena ba'marechas lesviros ela b'nafsho shel adam. And therefore, the primary place of contact, the primary mifgash, the encounter, the meeting with God, is not somewhere out in the spheros, in the outer realms, right? It's within your own soul. The main place that you need to try to discover Hashem, more than looking at a tree and saying, God is here, looking at a bird, God is here, a mundane activity, this can be godly because God is here. Look at yourself. To look at your own self and try to say, I am an neshama. I know everything about my perception tells me that I'm a goof. But be'emes, I am a neshama. That is who I am. That is who I will always be. My neshama is currently residing within this body, but I am a neshama. Kahu avran nekudas hakoved me'olamos elyon me'al olamenu bechlal ve'al olamo shel adam befrat. And in this way, we move over, we carry over, right, all of the weightiness of the spiritual realms from the higher worlds beyond this world into our world, and then all the more so into our world, into ourselves, into the Adam Befrat. Yesod ze mizamein la'ovid Hashem efsharus zmina legalos esod kiyumu v'sharish havayasa. This is an invitation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making it available for a person to recognize the essence of his own existence. As Yesod ha'aluki, ashorash Hashem imenu nechsav, to know where I come from. This is the most important point. Not to be able to walk down the street and to say, wow, I see God in all of what's happening around me. The most important point is to be able to make every decision in my life based on the fact that Hashem is within me. To not think things and to not allow my body to be involved in any type of behavior that contradicts the neshama shavo. Because the neshama is who I really am. Okay? Look what he writes in the bolded middle section. The Kach Chosav Maharal, he quotes the Maharal, this is now a quote from the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes quotes the Maharal in the Tiferes Yisrael. Ki kol ha'adam nivra, lahotzi shleimuso mikolach alapoel. My whole life is trying to bring the me who I am in potential and to bring it into the physical domain, to bring it to life, to make it actual. V'zeh yagatiu matzasihu, limtso achios batzmuso. When the Gemara says, a person's avod in this world, yagati umatzati, to work and to find, the goal is what? Limtso hachiyus ba'atzmuso. To work at finding what? Your true self. But I have a new understanding of it based on when I was reading this paragraph and preparing for shir today. I had a new understanding of this. What does it mean, yagati umatzasi? Right, everyone asks, normally when you work at something, that's different than a mitzia. What's a mitzia? What's the feeling of a mitzia? Mitzia is, you're walking down the street and all of a sudden you look down, a $20 bill. Wow, what a mitzia. $20 bill. You weren't expecting to find the $20 bill. You didn't work to acquire that $20 bill. You just happened to stumble across a $20 bill blowing in the wind down the street. Unbelievable. That's so the Svarim ask, what's yagati umatzasi? I work and then I find? I think the answer is like this. The avod of a person, he's saying, is to what? Is to try to identify your true inner self. And to keep working at that. There's an element of mitzia, as you work at it and discover yourself, there's an element of mitzia. There's an element of surprise. What's the surprise? What's the surprise? Mitzia means a surprise. That's not what the word means. Mitzia means to find something. Right? But the feeling of mitzia is a feeling of surprise. I didn't expect that. So when a person's working on discovering what he has inside of himself, there's an element of mitzvah, there's an element of surprise. Right? The way that, I'll tell you how they say it in let's say the Beis Halevi has this part. Right? In Brisk, what do they say? How do they answer the question? Yagati umatzasi. Yagati means work. Mitzvah means you find it. Right? So the Brisker way to say it is what? You have to work really hard at something, but then you should realize Hashem just gives it to you as a gift. That's the Brisker way to say it. That's what's printed in the Griz al Torah. The Rav said we should learn Griz al Torah. So in the back of the Griz al Torah, the Beis Halevi, in the back, it says that vart. Shem the Beis Halevi, Shem Rav Chaim Brisker, Shem the Griz, they all say the same vart. So, Yagati umatzasi. You need to shteig, you need to work, and you shouldn't feel that it was you, it's still mitzvah, Hashem gave it to you at the end. But I think, in the way that we're learning, I think we'd say it differently. I would think you have to work at trying to uncover this potential. And then after you've worked at it, right, and you have earned it, you should be proud of yourself, but there's an element of mitzia when you start to realize, wow, I didn't realize who I really am. I thought I was a body and I also have a neshama. No, I am a neshama and I also have a body. And the body is just a tool of my neshama. The neshama is me. That's the essential me. I'll give you an example. Even the way that we talk shows that we're so out of touch with this olam pnimi that we are, right? Not this spiritual world within which we exist, which we are. It's a very mahus. Rav Dessler writes in Michta Meleyahu, very interesting thing. I think it's in the second volume. Not sure. Rav Dessler writes that after the chait of Adam Harishon, well, let's go back a second. The Nefesh HaChaim says, what changed after Adam sinned? The Nefesh HaChaim writes in Shar Aleph, it's in Perek Vav, in the Haggah, in the note. The Nefesh HaChaim says there that it used to be that my primary voice was the Yetzer Tov. And the Satan, the Nachash, the Yetzer Hara, is that outer voice trying to convince me to do things. Right? But essentially, the stronger voice is the good voice. After Adam sinned, the system got flipped. So that nowadays, right, most of me wants to stay in bed in the morning. There's a little voice on the outside that's saying, get up, you should go to Dav and be a good yid. Right? My dominant voice is my Yetzer Hara, and my quiet, little background voice is my Yetzer Tov. That was the flipping of the system. So says the Michta Mi'Eliyahu, says Rav Dessler, notice how we talk. Notice how we talk about things that we think that we desire. How do we talk? Right? We say, I want to stay in bed. Right? But you want me to get out of bed. Meaning the I, right? I want to do this Avera. Right? But something you tell me I shouldn't do the Avera. Right? The Yetzer Hara has become the I. That's what the Dessler says. The Yetzer Hara thinks he's got the main voice. The body says, right? When the body talks, the body says, I want to, and it says back to the Neshama, but you, Neshama, Kilu, the Neshama is an outsider, and the body is the real me. Right? I want to enjoy all the Hazim, but you tell me I'm not supposed to. Rav Dessler says that was the Vinahafachu that took place when Adam Rishon sinned. And our whole job, as we've been learning the last 3 days, is to try to flip that system back on its head. To peel back the cover and to say, wait a minute, who's really the I and who's really the you? You, Yetzer Hara, you're the you, the body's the you. The essential I is my neshama. So therefore, says the Sfas Emes, quoting the Maharal, the avodah of a Jew is to take the koach, the potential, and to turn it into something real. Yagati matzasi, to keep working to try to find something. And you'll be surprised when you find it. You'll be surprised. Wow, I didn't realize there was so much buried inside of me. I didn't realize there was so much elokus wrapped in such physicality. Who would have thought? She'ein chaser l'adam klal, that I have everything that I need inside of me. V'yesh b'chol ish Yisrael kedusha l'ein shiur. If I peel back the layers enough to the point that ein on mavado, right? So I realize that I am endlessly deep, the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was endlessly deep. I just need to pull back the covers and to reveal the truth that exists within. Okay? Let's just do two more paragraphs and then we'll stop for today. So therefore, what emerges from all of this, Torah HaChasidus, v'nigud l'Torah HaKabbalah, as opposed to the teachings of Kabbalah, einenu ma'amida b'merkaz olama, as tikun ha'pertzufim shel ze'er anpin v'nukva, shekeleim nishru v'chulu. The avoda of a chassid as opposed to a Kabbalist. Right? We don't say that the point upon which everything revolves, the merkaz, right, the center of, so to speak, my world, is fixing the pertzufim ze'er anpin. Again, these are Kabbalistic words where our brain starts to turn off and gets fuzzy and strange. Right? V'nukva, shekeleim nishru, shviras ha'kelim. And you said, what are all these ideas? All right, this is a Arizal talk. This is not for me. In Kabbalah, you're right. It's not for you, perhaps. Rather, what does Chassidus do? Elas gilay ahester shebesoch habriya bechlal. Chassidus says, no, take all those concepts and bring them into your world. And then bring them besoch ha'adam beprat. Shebo ganes soda shalokus. That all of those very strange, abstract, fuzzy ideas are actually so real when you realize that you're walking around with them. Literally, you are them. You are those ideas that fills your entire being. And you spend your whole life with those ideas. You just have to get to know them through yourself as opposed to something out there. In Yana Amerkazi, Einenu Geulas Ha'olamos O'afilu Geulas Ha'uma. Look what he says. He says, the main goal is not to be Goel the world, to try to redeem the world. And the main goal is not to even be Goel the Am, to save Klal Yisrael. Rather, what is the goal? El geulas haprat, geulas haadam. Geulas haadam. Okay? What am I getting distracted with here? I'm trying to look something up as I'm speaking to you. Yeah? The Copernican Revolution. What was the Copernican Revolution? What was the Copernican... I wanted to get Wikipedia open at the same time. The Copernican Revolution was the paradigm shift, right? From the what? from a model of the heavens which described the cosmos as having Earth stationary at the center of the universe, to the heliocentric model with the sun at the center of the solar system. Yeah? Means we used to think, there was a thinking that what? That the center of the world was what? That everything revolved around Earth. And then they realized that what? That everything revolves around the sun. Right? That was a paradigm shift for the whole world. Yeah? So when certain philosophies emerged in the world, certain philosophical movements emerged in the world, right? There was also an unbelievable shift that they would refer to as a Copernican revolution, where we used to focus on what? On knowing things objectively. Then came along certain philosophers and said, we're never going to know objectively. Let's know subjectively, right? Well, guess where all of those movements of philosophy were coming from? What was happening in Torah is where it came from. It's amazing, again, to see how these things came about at the same time they were coming about in Torah. What's the Copernican revolution that took place between the world of Kabbalah and the world of Hasidus? Instead of trying to get man into the heavens, let's get the heavens into man. That's a paradigm shift. That's a major shift in our thinking. So I spend my life not thinking about how I can bring Mashiach for the world, or how I can bring Mashiach for Klal Yisrael, but I start, the way that Rabbi Saul Salanter said, I wanted to change the whole world, da 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 da, right? But first I realized I could only change myself, and then through that I changed my family, and through that I changed my community, and through that I changed the world. Or whichever other tzaddik you want to plug in who said that statement, since they quoted B'Shem everyone. Hapirut shebein hamelech v'amatronisa misparish b'toras chasidus kapirut shebein guf l'nefesh. The separation of the king and his beloved is the separation of body and soul. It's not out there, it's taking place within. Bein ha'odom liyasoda eloki shebekirbo. Rather, it's a gap that has developed and has widened between what? Between Ben Adam La'atzmo. And if a person can fix that, then Mameila, you'll save Klal Yisrael. And Mameila, you'll save the whole world. That's the Mashiach we need to work towards. That's the Avota. Okay? So we'll stop here for the day. I want to just end, of course, on the famous line of the Tolos Yaakov Yosef, who writes in Parsha Shmini, that when it says in Tehillim, and we say it in Lechadodi, yeah? Karva el Nafshi Ge'Allah. Karva el Nafshi Ge'Allah. The way that Hasidus understands it, the way that Rav Judah always likes to say it, yeah, for those who know how Rav Judah thinks, right? Karva el Nafshi Ge'ala. The way that Hasidus understood it, told us Yaakov Yosef, writes it in Shmini like this, that it's a Geula HaPrat, it's Geula Pratius LeNafsho. Don't, told us Yaakov Yosef says it very clearly, don't focus on trying to save the whole world. Don't try to bring God into the world. Don't bring God into the world, why not? Bring God into your world. Don't worry about bringing Hashem into the street. That'll come automatically. If you become a person who recognizes that you are filled every bit of your physical existence, and every physical Olam Hazeh decision that you make is really filled with an endless amount of Ein Sof Elokus, so then Mameila, Karva El Nafshi Gala, if the Geulas HaNefesh Pratis takes place, so then automatically it'll ripple outwards, it'll trickle outwards. And again, that's the Copernican revolution that Hasidus brought to the world. That it's not about Tzviros in an out-of-body sense. Right? It's not about Shviras HaKelim or Tzimtzum out there. But rather, it's entirely within the person. Okay? Good?